بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his pure and noble family, and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is class number 5, and this will be addressing verses 14 and 15. To remind you of the earlier verses, in these verses still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the third type of mankind after mentioning the first kind, and that is the believers and their qualities. And then after that Allah mentioned the pure kafirs, the original kafir. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the third kind, and these are the hypocrites. And in their description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 14, please, 2:14, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And when they meet those who believe, they say, "We believe." But when they are alone with their shayateen, they say, "Truly, we are with you. Verily, we were but mocking." So, if they meet the believers, or they say to them, those whom they encounter, they say, "We believe," like you, meaning, like you believe, we believe. However, when they turn to their shayateen, and what is intended by shayateen here is their leaders, and their leaders were given this title of shayateen because of their manifest rebellion, because of their manifest rebellion. And it is said that shaytan is kullu marid, is every rebellion from the jinn or mankind or others as well. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described the black dog as shaitan, and this does not mean that the dog is shaitanul jinn, the shaitan of the jinn type. No, it means the shaitan in his own kind. He is the shaitan in his own kind, and the kind of dogs. Because it is of the worst in rebellion from the dogs, and the ugliest of the dogs. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Al-kalbu al-aswadu shaytan," the black dog is shaytan. And similarly, it is said in description of the rebellion man, this is the shaitan of such and such people or a group. Yes, meaning their rebellion, and they are most cruel of them. Here also in this statement, they go to the, when they meet the believers or they sit to them, or they sit with them or encounter them, they say, we believe like you believe. They say also, inna ma'akum. To whom? To their rebellion leaders, when they are alone with them, when they return to them. We are following you. In fact, we are only mocking those believers, meaning that we pretend to them that we are Muslims in order to deceive them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ, the next verse, اللَّهُ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah mocks at them, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks at them. In what way? In giving them respite and keeping away the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers from killing them, yet knowing that they are in the hereafter is in the lowest level of the fire of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks at them and give them increase, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ, in their wrongdoing. And طُغْيَان in Arabic means مُجَاوَزَةُ الْحَدْ, exceeding the limits or going beyond the limits. This is called طُغْيَان. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the flood of Noah that took place at the time of Noah, as in Surah Al-Haqqa, chapter 69, verse 11. إِنَّهُ لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاءُ حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. Verily, when the water rose beyond its limits, طَغَى rose beyond its limits, exceeded its limits at the time of Noah's flood, we carried you, O mankind, in the floating ship that was constructed by Noah alayhi salam. طُغْيَانِهِمْ. Then Allah said, يعمهون. And العمى in Arabic is misguidance, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them continue on their misguidance. And from the benefits of these two verses is, number one, the humiliation of the hypocrite. Because what? Because he is one who betrays. Look at it. When they meet the believers, they say, we believe like you. Why? Fearing the believers. And when they turn to their leaders, they say, we are with you, also fearing their leaders. So they are in a state of humility before the believers and before those leaders of them. And why it is the case? Because when a person takes from his deen, makes it a matter of concealment, and this is an indication of his humiliation, and this is a kind of hypocrisy, because he thinks he is shielding himself in what he thinks it is good, while it is evil. The second point of benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks at those who mock at him. Or mock at his messengers. Or his الشريعة, his legislations and laws. This is a matter where we should explain four things related to. Number one, there are perfect attributes. The first matter, there are perfect attributes, but there may result from them imperfect matters. Such perfect qualities or attributes, we can't name Allah with them. However, he may be described with, like for example, the term al-mutakallim, meaning the one who speaks, and al-murid, the one who wants. These two, al-mutakallim and al-murid, are not from the names of Allah. However, it is correct to describe Allah that He speaks and that He intends and wants in the general sense. It is correct to do that in the general sense. However, these two, for example, which we gave, Al-Mutakallim, the one who speaks, and Al-Murid, the one who intends, the one who wants, these are not from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because speech could be, you can speak with something good, and it could also be of evil, and it could be of truthfulness, and it could be with lying, and it could be with justice, and it could be with injustice, and similarly the intention and the want. So this is the first type. The second type is the absolutely perfect type, and it cannot be subdivided. The absolutely perfect type, and it cannot be subdivided. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is named with. With such, Allah is named with, for example, Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, Al-Ghafur, the oft forgiving, Al-Sami', the all-hearer, Al-Basir, the all-seer, and so forth. And such names comprise attributes. Such names comprise attributes. So these are names which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named Himself with. And these are absolutely perfect. The third type, that which is not generally perfect. However, it is perfect when restricted. When it's generalized, it is not perfect. But when restricted, it is so, we cannot describe with this type except when it is restricted. Like for example, Al-Khida', deception, plotting, mocking. These, when in the general sense, they are not perfection. And that's why you cannot say إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَاكِرٌ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِطْلَاقِ. You cannot say that Allah is makir, a plotter, just like this generally. ولكن إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَاكِرٌ بِمَنْ يَمْكُرُ بِهِ وَبِرُسُلِهِ. Rather you say Allah plots for those who plot regarding him and regarding his messengers and the like. So in the restricted sense, as you can see, it is permissible to use. In this case, it is perfection in the restricted form, but in the general form it cannot be perfection. Is this matter now clear, inshallah? Is this matter clear? So this is the third type. Now, there is an issue here. Is the title Al-Muntaqim, the Avenger, is of the type of the plotter and the one who mocks? The answer: this matter concerning the title Al-Muntaqim, the Avenger, there is difference of opinion amongst the scholars regarding this term and this title. Some of them, they say Allah is not described with this title on its own. Rather, he is described with this title if it is associated with forgiveness, with the title Al-Afu, the one who forgives. So you can say, according to the first opinion, Al-Afu Al-Muntaqim, the one who is of pardoning and the avenger. Because this title Al-Muntaqim, when it is in the general sense, when it's generalized, it is not an attribute, a praiseworthy attribute, except when it is linked and associated with Al-Afu, the one who pardons. And similarly, they say the same applies with the title Al-Mudhil, the one who humiliates. On its own, Allah is not to be described by that, unless it is linked to Al-Mu'izz, the one who raises in honor. So in this case, you have it in the coupled form. You can say, according to this opinion, Al-Mu'izz Al-Mudhil. And similarly, Ad-Dar, the one who causes harm. They said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be described with this title on its own, unless it is associated and coupled with An-Nafi', the one who brings benefits and causes benefits. In this sense, it comes in this coupled form, An-Nafi', Ad-Dar. And they call these names, according to the first opinion, they call them the coupled names. They call them the coupled names. Other scholars, however, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be described with these names in either way, meaning on their own or in the coupled form. So you don't say Al-Afu Al-Muntaqim, because there is no evidence to indicate that from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the term Al-Muntaqim, the Avenger. And this term, this title, is not in itself
alone. Perfect or perfection, unless it is restricted in the restricted sense, when it is mentioned with those who deserve the avenging. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sajda, Surah 32 verse 22, إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ, we shall exact retribution from the مجرمين. And also in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Imran 3 verse 4, وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ, وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ, the last of the verse, and Allah is Almighty, All Able of Retribution. And this is the what is preponderated by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And here it's worth mentioning that the hadith, and this is very important, that the hadith in which the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were mentioned, and in which the title al-muntaqim, the one who exacts retribution or avenger, is غير صحيح, is inauthentic, because this hadith contains things which are not correct when concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in it there are things that are omitted while they are from the names of Allah. All of this indicates that this is not from the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth type is the type which generally comprises imperfection, and therefore this is in no way whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with or named with. Like for example, Al-Ajiz, the incapable, Al-Da'if, the weak, Al-A'war, the blind, and the like. So it is not permissible to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any quality of defection. We are talking about the mocking here. The mocking that came in this verse, and let's have the verse inshallah again. And these are relevant, important matters. That's why the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned them. Let's have the verse here. And when they meet those who believe, they say, we believe. But when they are alone with their shayateen, they say, truly we are with you, verily we are but mocking. Allah mocks at them. Allah mocks at them and gives them increase in their wrongdoings to wander blindly. This mocking in this verse is real, because the mocking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at them, those who mock, indicates His perfection and His might, and that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not incapable to face them and respond to them. So this is, in this case, sifatu kamal, an attribute of perfection in relation to the mocking of these mockers. This is exactly like the statement in verse 86, Surah At-Tariq 15 and 16. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Look in response. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ. Verily they are but plotting a plot against you, O Muhammad. And look, and I too, I am planning a plan. Meaning, much more greater than their plotting. So, the mocking from Allah here is true and real, and it must not be interpreted by other than its obviously understood meaning. Interpreting it by other than its obviously understood meaning is forbidden. And take this important foundation. Anyone who interprets anything from the Quran not according to its obviously understood meaning, without an evidence, and without proof, and this evidence must be authentic, then he is uttering on Allah without knowledge. And this is forbidden. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 33, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad, but the things that my Lord has indeed forbidden are al-fawahish, all forms of sins, in every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse, etc. Whether committed openly or secretly, sins of all kinds, unrighteous oppression, joining partners in worship with Allah, for which he has given no authority, and this is the point of evidence, and saying things about Allah of which you have no knowledge. So any utterance about Allah without knowledge concerning his Sharia, or concerning his actions, or his attributes, is forbidden. Rather, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mocks at the believers through mocking, but it is not like our mocking, but rather much more greater and more profound than ours, because nothing is like unto him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this matter and this foundation should be applicable and people follow in all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself with. In the same manner that you don't exceed the limit concerning the rule of Allah, and you go and say this is unlawful for that which is lawful, here also the same. Don't say that which Allah, so concerning that which Allah described himself with, that this is not intended and so forth. For everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described himself with, you must keep it on its obviously understood meaning. And you should know that this obviously understood meaning is not like that which is attributed to yourself. So the mocking of Allah is not like our mocking, and the closeness of Allah is not like our closeness and nearness, and the istiwa, the ascension of Allah over the throne, is not like our ascension over the bed. And the same applies with respect to the attributes. We pass them according to their obviously understood meaning. And we don't utter about Allah anything without knowledge. Rather, we declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above any imperfection and far above resembling the creatures, because He subhanahu wa ta'ala said لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, as in 42:11, nothing is like unto Him, and He is the all hearer, all seer. Now, concerning betrayal, al-khiyana, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely not qualified with this attribute, because betrayal is an absolutely imperfect attribute. And betrayal means deceit, insecurity, and this is imperfection. Deception, when security or trustworthiness is what is ought to be, and this is imperfection. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal chapter 8 verse 71, وَإِن يُرِيدُ خِيَانَتَكَ فَقَدْ خَانُوا اللَّهَ مِن قَبْلُ فَأَمْكَنَ مِنْهُمْ. But if they intend to betray you, O Muhammad, they have already betrayed Allah before. And Allah gave you power over them. And He didn't say Allah betrayed them, but rather He said, so He gave you power over them. However, in the other case, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the hypocrites in Surah An-Nisa, when He described them with deceit in 4:142, يخادعون الله, where the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, what was the response? Look at this. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, but it is He who deceives them. In the first place, concerning the betrayal, Allah didn't say in response that He betrays them, but with respect to deceit, Allah said here, it is He who deceives them, because deception and deceit is a perfect or a praiseworthy attribute when it is restricted. In the restricted sense, as we discussed earlier in the 4 points. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described war by saying, Al-harbu khid'a, war is deceit. But when he mentioned betrayal, listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَخُنْ مَنْ خَانَكَ, don't betray the one who betrays you, because betrayal takes a place when security is ought to be. However, deceit may take place where there is no security, in conditions when there is no security. And khiyana, betrayal, sifatu naqsin mutlaq, is an absolutely imperfect quality. The third point of benefit concerning these verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may increase the wrongdoer in his actions so that he continues in his transgression. And from this point of benefit, another point of benefit could be mentioned, and that is the warning the transgressor not to deceive himself concerning the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these favors which are bestowed upon him while he is in this state of transgression, these could be to from the form of istidraj to seize him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yumli, gives respite and increases them in their misguidance, as in the state of the hypocrites earlier. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed and wished, he would take them and seize them, but he subhanahu wa ta'ala increases to the wrongdoer until when he takes him, he will not let him go. Until when he seizes him, it's over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7 verse 182, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We shall gradually seize them with punishment. This is the meaning of istidraj, in ways they perceive not. Now, if someone asks the following question, how can one distinguish between the grace and the bounty and the favors of Allah, which Allah rewards the slave with, and the favors which come in the form of gradual seizing, which is by way of plotting, increasing the favors while a person is in a state of transgression, wrongdoing? The answer: if the person is upright on the path of Allah, then the favors he receives, these are rewards. But if he is continuous on sin and disobedience, yet with favors coming continuously on him, then this is the form of istidraj. This is for seizing, to be taken and seized. Fourth point, and from the benefits of these verses, is that the transgressor is blinded by his lowly desires. Blinded from knowing the truth and accepting it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ, in the last part of verse 15, which we are explaining. And from this طغيان, exceeding the limits and transgression, is when a person gives his saying precedence over the saying of Allah and his messenger. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns in Surah Al-Hujurat 49 verse 1, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. Or you believe, don't put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger and fear Allah. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. And with this fourth point of benefit, we finish verse 15 and we go to verse 16 inshallah. Still, the description of the hypocrites. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are they who have purchased error for guidance. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. So their commerce was profitless and they were not guided. أُولَٰئِكَ. This is a demonstrative pronoun denoting remoteness, but remoteness in lowliness, not highness, because this is the state of the hypocrite. Those who purchased dalala, misguidance and error, and this is the path they followed, the path of hypocrisy. They purchased that for guidance. So they took misguidance and they left guidance. Just like you say, I purchased the garment for such and such of currency. And that only increased their commerce. In the sense, it was really profitless. It didn't increase it in any profit. Rather, it was profitless. And this is the commerce of purchasing misguidance for guidance. And they were not guided. Meaning, when they did so, when they purchased error for guidance, they were not guided. Rather, they are losers in this commerce, misguided in their path. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and at this moment we will cover the benefits from the verses 16 we'll cover the verse 16, the benefits from verse 16. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to talk about the points of benefits from this verse before we move to the next verses, inshallah. Still, the talk is about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the hypocrites and their qualities and their descriptions. These are they who have purchased error for guidance, so their commerce was profitless and they were not guided. From the points of benefit is, number one, making it clear the foolishness of the hypocrites because they purchased error for guidance, and this comes only from a safih, from someone who is fool. And from the points of benefit is the association of the hypocrites with misguidance, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed their behavior with misguidance. They purchased it for guidance, and the one who buys something whom he really likes, which he really likes, is linked to this thing which he loves or likes. And similarly here, they are those who have purchased something which they liked, and that is misguidance for guidance. So this tells of their attachment to misguidance. Such a state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing it in this way, making it clear that they are really associated or associate themselves and they are hooked up to this misguidance. From the benefits is that man may think that he is doing good while he is doing bad, because these hypocrites purchased error for guidance while they thinking that they are on correctness and that they are profiting. So Allah made it sure that their commerce was profitless. And from the points of benefit is the state of loss of the hypocrites in that which they seek for profit, because Allah said, so their commerce was profitless. And the fifth point is that the matter of winning or profiting and losing revolves around following the guidance. The one who follows the guidance is the winner, and the one who opposes it is the loser. And this is exemplified or signified in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Asr 103 where Allah says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ Allah is swearing by Asr, meaning time, that man is in loss except, however, now the winners, except those who believe in Tawheed and do righteous good deeds and recommend one another to the truth which Allah has ordained, and abstain from all kinds of sins and evils which Allah has forbidden, and recommend one another to patience. These are the winners. And like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah As-Saff 61 verses 10 and 11, يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. You who believe, shall I guide you to a commerce that will save you from a painful torment? تؤمنون بالله ورسوله, that you believe in Allah and His Messenger. وتجاهدون في سبيل الله, and that you strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah. بأموالكم وأنفسكم, with your wealth and your lives. ذلكم خير لكم, this is better for you. And you stop here before you go, if you but know, because there is a benefit here. You stop on this, that will be better for you, because if you continue the recitation and you read, that will be better for you if you but know, then the goodness will be linked to if we know. But rather the goodness is that it is goodness, this is the way of goodness, whether we know or we don't know. So this is a point of benefit that comes from stopping at the recitation, that will be better for you. And from the sixth point of benefit, or the last point of benefit, and this is number six, that those believers or those hypocrites are not guided. Because Allah says, وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ, verily they are not guided, because they think that they are doing something good. And that's why they don't return to the truth. And similarly, this is the case of every wicked mischief doer or an innovator, thinking that he is on the truth, then he will not return or retract from that wrong path. And the one who is on a simple state of ignorance is better than those, because those are on a compounded state of ignorance.